because someone has to say it, and no one does it better than Inez Says.
Hey, hello, and I welcome you back to another week of the Inez Says Podcast. I am Scott Inez. Thanks for being here today. You can find the podcast most anywhere you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find it right there on the front page of the WDBO app and WDBO.com. And I invite you to join me for Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez every weekday, 5 to 9 a.m. on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Be sure to stream us right there in the WDBO app. You know, I vaguely remember the Vietnam War protests as a kid. Those were protests among peace activists and leftist intellectuals that began in earnest on college campuses throughout the United States back in the 60s, but really came to a head in the late 60s. Though Presidents Eisenhower and Kennedy charted its course in the Vietnam War, the war quickly became known as Lyndon Baines Johnson's War, and the protesters, no matter what you may have thought about their ways, had a legitimate point, and that was the Vietnam War was wrong. For the first time in our nation's brief history, you had a segment of the American population legitimately questioning the American government. And though it was a war that in essence started with Eisenhower and moved into the Kennedy and Johnson administrations, Richard Nixon was elected in 1968, and he was really the president who was faced with the major outcry of these protesters in the late 60s and early 70s, and that was to stop the war in Vietnam. In 1969, Nixon installed the first U.S. draft lottery since World War II, and with that, the demonstrations, they grew and grew. There were incidents of violence at places like Kent State University in 1970, when National Guard troops shot into a group of protesters who were demonstrating against the invasion of Cambodia. That resulted in four students losing their lives. And as anti-war fervor grew in America, mid-1971, there was a guy by the name of Daniel Ellsberg, an American military strategist, who brought about the publication of the Pentagon Papers, which revealed previously confidential details about the war's conduct and misconduct by government and military officials. Ellsberg called the Pentagon Papers evidence of a quarter century of aggression, broken treaties, deception, stolen elections, lies, and murder. Now, these and other revelations caused more and more Americans to doubt the accountability of the U.S. government and the integrity of the military establishment, and well, it should have. And in 1973, the Paris Peace Accords were signed, effectively ending the Vietnam War, though the last of the American soldiers in that part of the world did not come home for a few more years. Now, I would suggest to you that those protests that took place in America in the 1960s and the early 1970s were very effective, no matter what you may have thought about the war in Vietnam. They were legitimate protests in nature. The central question was, why is the U.S. government sending our young men, our boys, halfway around the world to fight in a war that seemed inconsequential to a segment of the American population? And again, we can argue about the Red Menace, right? The spread of communism was worth fighting for, whether the spread of communism around the world was worth fighting for or not. And look, there was a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on in the United States back in the late 60s. There was a cultural revolution going on. There was a racial revolution going on, a sexual revolution, if you will. America was in the throes of losing President John Kennedy earlier in the decade to assassination. His brother Bobby Kennedy was also assassinated, as was Martin Luther King Jr. So there was a lot of stuff going on at the time. But again, the central question of these protests, I believe, were legitimate. And that was, is the Vietnam War worth all those American lives? Okay, so let's cut to today now. And let's look at some of these protests, if you will, at Ivy League campuses like Columbia University and Yale University, because these campuses right now are in chaos due to these so-called protesters. I call them agitators. And I think these are some of the same people that we saw in the summer of 2020 post George Floyd. But when we hearken back to the Vietnam War protests of the 60s, the central issue again was the legitimacy of the war in Vietnam. What is the central theme here with these so-called protests protests of today that we have seen all over the country, with some of these agitators stopping traffic in cities like San Francisco and Miami and New York City, some of them even literally cementing themselves to barricades. Some would say that these people are protesting Israel's treatment of those living in Gaza during the Israel-Hamas war. But I think there is something much deeper going on here. And I think that much of the protesting that we are seeing right now from groups both on and off campus have much to do about anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism. Tragically, I think, as we all know, anti-Semitism is and has been on the rise both here in the States and around the world for years now. So let's go ahead and give you a short history lesson about the Middle East. The history of the Middle East, as we all know, has been drenched in turmoil. It's been drenched in blood as well. But Israel, throughout its history, has offered the Palestinians a state of their own five times. Okay, five times, the highlight of which was 1947. The British at that time asked the UN to find a new solution to tensions in the Middle East. And then they decided that the best way to resolve the conflict between the new nation of Israel and the Arab states around it was to divide the land. The UN voted for two states, Israel and Palestine. Israel accepted this plan. The Arabs would reject it. And in doing so, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, all went to war with the Israelis. What happened was Israel ended up winning the war, and with that, most of the land set aside for the Arab state. They would win the war and win the land after the Arab states denied that particular two-state solution. Now, have there been atrocities over the years committed by both the Jews and the Arabs? Yes. That area of the world has always pretty much been a powder keg, okay? But the thing that strikes me about these so-called protests of Israel and America's backing of Israel today is a lack of knowledge. These are supposed to be the best and the brightest of the bunch. Somebody needs to tell these protesters that back on October 7th, Israel was attacked by Hamas terrorists from Gaza, the first invasion of Israeli territory since the 1948 Arab-Israel War. And in the end, these terrorists, these murderers, these savages killed over 1,100 people, including nearly 670 Israeli civilians. The death toll included 36 children. About 250 people were taken hostage, including 30 kids. It was a terrorist attack that included beheadings, rapes, butcherings, you name it. It was the bloodiest day in the history of the nation of Israel. What is Israel supposed to do here? What are they supposed to do? They struck back in full force. And well, they should have and continue to do. And what we have seen in America with these so-called protests is absolutely outrageous. Because what I see goes deeper than just, oh, we have concern for the people of Gaza. What I see is a group of people here in the U.S. who hate America. How many death to America chants have we heard? How many American flags have been burnt? So they hate America, they hate Israel, and there is a deep anti-Semitism twinge to this campaign that we are seeing. Not to mention, there is a deep anarchist twinge to this movement as well. So don't give me this nonsense about, well, they're similar to the Vietnam protesters of the 60s and the 70s calling for the end of the Vietnam War. Baloney. These so-called protesters are advocating for a terrorist organization in Hamas. Can you even fathom what that means? This would be akin to protesting for the Al-Qaeda terrorists who killed nearly 3,000 people on September 11, 2001. Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, they're pure evil. They terrorize and kill those who don't happen to align with their beliefs. So don't give me this nonsense that these protesters have every right to demonstrate on college campuses in cities across America because it's their right to do so. No, this is not Vietnam 2.0. This is something that is much more sinister and much more disturbing at play here. And that is the growing anti-America sentiment, the growing anti-Semitism sentiment, and a growing pro-terrorist movement that has disturbingly taken hold amongst some of the youth of America today. That's going to do it for the Inez Says podcast. Appreciate you being here. You can find me on the radio every single weekday, Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez, 5 to 9 a.m. on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. I'll see you next time.